37. A Matter of Perspective. Now as each order was thus matched to the nature and temperament of the herald it named patron, there was none more archetypal of this than the stone wards, who followed after Telenalot Ilin, stone sinew, herald of war. They thought it a point of virtue to exemplify resolve, strength, and dependability. Alas, they took less care for imprudent practice of their stubbornness, even in the face of proven error. From Words of Radiance, Chapter 13, page 1. The meeting finally reached a break. They weren't done. Stormfather, it didn't seem like they'd ever be done. But the arguing was over for the moment. Adolin stood, wounds along his leg and side protesting, and left his father and aunt to speak in hushed tones as the large chamber filled with a buzz of conversation. How did father stand it? A full 2 hours had passed, according to Navani's fabrial clock on the wall. 2 hours of high princes and their wives complaining about the assassin in white. Nobody could agree on what should be done. They all ignored the truth, stabbing them in the face. Nothing could be done. Nothing other than Adolin staying alert and practicing, training to face the monster when he returned.
And you think you can beat him? When he can walk on walls and make the very spren of nature obey him?
It was a discomforting question. At his father's suggestion, Adolin had reluctantly changed out of his plate and into something more appropriate.
We need to project confidence at this meeting, Dalinar had said, not fear.
General Kahl wore the armor instead, hiding in a room to the side with a strike force. Father seemed to think it unlikely the assassin would strike during the meeting. If the assassin wanted to kill the high princes, he could take them much more easily alone in the night. Attacking them all together, in the company of their guards and dozens of shard-bearers, seemed like it would be an imprudent decision. Indeed, there were shards aplenty at this meeting. Three of the high princes wore their plates, and the others had shard-bearers in attendance. Abrobadar, Yakimov, Resi, Relis. Adolin had rarely seen so many collected together at once. Would any of it matter? Accounts had been flooding in from around the world for weeks. Kings slaughtered, ruling bodies decapitated all across Roshar. In Yakoved, the assassin had reportedly killed dozens of soldiers bearing half-shard shields that could block his blade, as well as three shard-bearers, including the king. It was a crisis that spanned the entire world, and one man was behind it, assuming he was even a man. Adolin found himself a cup of sweet wine at the edge of the room, poured by an eager servant in blue and gold. Orange wine, basically just juice. Adolin downed an entire cup anyway, then went looking for Relis. He needed to be doing something other than sitting and listening to people complain. Fortunately, he'd concocted something while sitting there. Relis, Ruthar's son and star shard-bearer, was a man with a face like a shovel, flat and wide, with a nose that seemed like it had been smashed. He wore a frilly outfit of green and yellow. It wasn't even interesting. He had the choice to wear anything, and he chose this. He was a full shard-bearer, one of the few in the camps. He was also the current dueling champion, which, along with his parentage, made him of particular interest to Adolin. He stood speaking with his cousin Ilit and a group of three of Sadius's attendants, women in the traditional Boren Hava. One of those women, Milali, gave Adolin a pointed glare. She was as pretty as she'd ever been, her hair up in complex braids and stuck with hair spikes. What had he done to annoy her again? It had been forever since they'd courted. Relis, Adolin said, raising his cup. I just wanted you to know that I found it very brave of you to offer to fight the assassin yourself when you spoke earlier. It is inspiring that you'd be willing to die for the crown. Relis scowled at Adolin. How did someone get a face so flat? Had he been dropped as a child?
You're assuming I'd lose.
Well, of course you would, Adolin said, chuckling. I mean, let's be honest, Relis. You've been sitting on your title for almost half a year. You haven't won a duel of any importance since you defeated Epinar.
This from a man who spent years refusing almost all challenges, Mullally said, looking Adolin up and down. I'm surprised your daddy let you free to come talk. Isn't he afraid you might hurt yourself?
Nice to see you too, Mullally, Adolin said. How's your sister?
Off limits.
Oh, right. That was what he'd done. Honest mistake. Relis, Adolin said, you claim you'd face this assassin, yet you're frightened of dueling me? Relis spread his hands, one holding a shimmering goblet of red wine. It's protocol, Adolin. I'll duel you once you fight up through the brackets for a year or two. I can't just take on any old challenger, particularly not in a bout with our shards on the line. Any old challenger? Adolin said. Relis, I'm one of the best there is.
Are you?
Relis asked, smiling.
After that display with Eraniv?
Yes, Adolin, said Elit, Relis's short, balding cousin. You've only had a handful of duels of any consequence in recent memory. In one of those, you basically cheated, and in the second, you won by sheer luck.
Relis nodded.
If I bend the rules and accept your challenge, then it will break the storm wall. I'll have dozens of inferior swordsmen nipping at me.
No, you won't, Adolin said. Because you won't be a shard-bearer any longer. You'll have lost to me.
So confident, Relis said, chuckling, turning to Elit and the women. Listen to him. He ignores the rankings for months, then leaps back in and assumes he can beat me.
I'll wager both my plate and blade, Adolin said, and my brother's plate and blade, along with the shard I won from Eraniv. 5 shards to your 2.
Elit started. The man was a shard-bearer with only the plate, given to him by his cousin. He turned to Relis, looking hungry. Relis paused. Then he closed his mouth and cocked his head lazily to the side as he met Adolin's eyes.
You're a fool, Colin.
I'm offering it here, before witnesses, Adolin said. You win this bout, you take every shard my family owns. What's stronger, your fear or your greed?
My pride, Relis said. No contest, Adolin.
Adolin ground his teeth. He'd hoped the duel with Eraniv would make others underestimate him, make them more likely to duel him. It wasn't working. Relis barked out a laugh. He held out his arms to Mullally and tugged her away, his attendants following. Elit hesitated.
Well, it's better than nothing, Adolin thought, a plan forming.
What about you? Adolin asked the cousin. Elit looked him up and down. Adolin didn't know the man well. He was said to be a passable duelist, though he was often in his cousin's shadow. But that hunger. Elit wanted to be a full shard-bearer.
Elit, Relis said.
Same offer, Elit said, meeting Adolin's gaze. You're 5 to my 1?
What a terrible deal.
Same offer, Adolin said.
I'm in, Elit said.
Behind him, Ruthar's son groaned. He grabbed Elit by the shoulder, towing him to the side with a growl.
You told me to fight up through the brackets, Adolin said to Relis. I'm doing that. Not my cousin.
Too late, Adolin said.
You heard it. The ladies heard it.
When do we fight, Elit? 7 days, Elit said. On Chachel.
7 days. A long wait, considering a challenge like this. So he wanted time to train, did he?
How about tomorrow instead?
Relis snarled at Adolin, a very un-Elethi display, and shoved his cousin farther away.
I can't see why you're so eager, Adolin. Shouldn't you focus on protecting that father of yours? It's always sad when a soldier lives long enough to see his wits go. Has he started wetting himself in public yet?
Steady, Adolin told himself. Relis was trying to goad him, maybe get Adolin to take a hasty swing. That would let him petition to the king for redress and avoiding of all contracts with his house, including the dueling agreement with Elit. But the insult went too far. His companions gasped slightly, pulling away at the very un-Alethi bluntness. Adolin didn't give in to the desperate goading. He had what he wanted. He wasn't certain what he could do about the assassin, but this was a way to help. Elit wasn't ranked highly, but he served Ruthar, who was, more and more, acting as Sadius's right-hand man. Beating him would take Adolin one step closer to the real goal, a duel with Sadius himself. He turned to leave and stopped short. Someone stood behind him, a stout man with a bulbous face and black curly hair. His complexion was ruddy, the nose too red, fine veins visible in his cheeks. The man had the arms of a soldier, despite his frivolous outfit, which was, Adolin admitted grudgingly, quite fashionable. Dark slacks that were trimmed with forest green silk, a short open coat over a stiff matching shirt, scarf at the neck. Toril Sadius, High Prince, Shardbearer, and the very man Adolin had been thinking of, the single person he hated most in the world. "Another duel, young Adolin," Sadius said, taking a sip of wine. "You really are determined to embarrass yourself out there. I still find it strange your father abandoned his prohibition of you dueling. Indeed, I thought it a matter of honor to him." Adolin pushed past Sadius, not trusting himself to speak so much as a single word to this eel of a man. Sight of the man brought memories of stark panic as he watched Sadius retreat from the field of battle to leave Adolin and his father alone and surrounded. Havar, Parathom, and Ilamar, good soldiers, good friends, had died that day. They and 6,000 more. Sadius grabbed Adolin's shoulder as he passed. "Think what you will, son," the man whispered, "but what I did was intended as a kindness to your father. A tip of the sword to an old ally." "Let go." "If you lose your mind as you age, pray to the Almighty there are people like myself willing to give you a good death. People who care enough not to snicker, but instead hold the sword for you as you fall on it."
"I'll have your throat in my hands, Sadius," Adolin hissed. "I'll squeeze and squeeze, then I'll sink my dagger into your gut and twist. A quick death is too good for you."
"Tisk," Sadius said, smiling. "Careful. It's a full room. What if someone heard you threatening a high prince?"
"The Alethi way.
You could abandon an ally on the battlefield and everyone could know it, but an offense in person, well, that just wouldn't do. Society would frown on that."
"Nalon's hand. His father was right about them all."
Adolin turned in a quick motion, reversing out of Sadius's grip. His next moves were by instinct, his fingers balling, stepping in preparation to plant a fist in that smiling, self-satisfied face. A hand fell on Adolin's shoulder, causing him to hesitate.
"I don't think that would be wise, Bright Lord Adolin," said a soft but stern voice.
It reminded Adolin of his father, though the timbre was off. He glanced at Amaram, who had stepped up beside him. Tall, with a face like chipped stone, Bright Lord Meridus Amaram was one of the only light-eyed men in the room who wore a proper uniform. As much as Adolin wished he himself could wear something more fashionable, he had come to realize the importance of the uniform as a symbol. Adolin took a deep breath, lowering his fist. Amaram nodded to Sadius, then turned Adolin by his shoulder and walked him away from the High Prince.
"You mustn't let him provoke you, Your Highness," Amaram said softly. "He'll use you to embarrass your father if he can."
They moved through the room full of chattering attendants. Drinks and finger food had been distributed. It had turned from a short break during the meeting into a full-blown party. Not surprising. With all the important light eyes here, people would want to mingle and connive.
"Why do you remain with him, Amaram?" Adolin asked.
"He He is my liege lord.
You're of a rank that you could choose a new liege. Stormfather, you're a shardbearer now. Nobody would even question you. Come to our camp. Join with father.
In doing that, I would create a divide, Amaram said softly. So long as I remain with Sadeus, I can help bridge gaps. He trusts me. So does your father. My friendship with both is a step toward keeping this kingdom together.
Sadeus will betray you.
No. High Prince Sadeus and I have an understanding.
We thought we had one. Then he set us up.
Amaram's expression grew distant. Even the way he walked was so full of decorum, straight back, nodding with respect to many they passed. The perfect, light-eyed general. Brilliantly capable, yet not lofty. A sword for his High Prince to employ. He'd spent the majority of the war diligently training new troops and sending the best of them to Sadeus, while guarding sections of Alethkar. Amaram was half the reason that Sadeus had been so effective out here on the Shattered Plains.
"Your father is a man who cannot bend," Amaram said. "I wouldn't have it any other way, Adolin. But it does mean that the man he has become is not someone who can work with High Prince Sadeus."
"And you're different?"
"Yes."
Adolin snorted. Amaram was one of the finest the kingdom had, a man with a sterling reputation.
"I doubt that."
"Sadeus and I agree that the means we choose to reach an honorable goal are allowed to be distasteful. Your father and I agree on what that goal should be. A better Alethkar. A place without all of this squabbling. It is a matter of perspective."
He continued talking, but Adolin found his mind drifting. He'd heard enough of this speech from his father. If Amaram started quoting the Way of Kings at him, he'd probably scream. At least, who was that? Gorgeous red hair. There wasn't a single lock of black in it. A slender build, so different from the curvaceous Alethi. A silken blue dress, simple yet elegant. Pale skin, it almost had a shin look to it, matched by light blue eyes. A slight dusting of freckles under the eyes, giving her an exotic cast. The young woman seemed to glide through the room. Adolin twisted about, watching her pass. She was so different.
"Ash's eyes,"
Amaram said, chuckling.
"You're still doing that, are you?"
Adolin pried his eyes away from the girl. "Doing what?"
"Letting your eyes be drawn by every flitting little thing that swishes by. You need to settle down, son. Pick one. Your mother would be mortified to find you still unwed."
"Yasna's unwed, too. She's a decade older than me."
Assuming she was still alive, as Aunt Navani was convinced.
"Your cousin is hardly a role model in that regard."
His tone implied more. Or any regard.
"Look at her, Amaram," Adolin said, craning to the side and watching the young woman approach his father. "That hair. Have you ever seen anything such a deep shade of red?"
"Vaden, I'd warrant," Amaram said. "Horn-eater blood. There are family lines that pride themselves on it."
"Vaden. It couldn't be, could it?"
"Excuse me," Adolin said, breaking away from Amaram, and shoving, politely, his way over to where the young woman was speaking to his father and his aunt.
"Bright Lady Yasna did go down with the ship, I'm afraid," the woman was saying. "I'm sorry for your loss."